Merry Christmas. I get to wear my Christmas tie. I have worn this through every iteration of tie width. I don't know if this is normal now, but it used to be when skinny ties were in, I still wore this fat one, and I'm waiting for them to come back. My kids gave this to me 25 years ago. And there's one constant in our Christmases at our home, and that's my tie. Everything else has changed over and over again. I love Christmas. Ever since I became a follower of Christ, it's just had a brand new kind of feel to it. I mean, there are a lot of things about it that I'm sure you guys like. It's, you know, time with family and friends. You'd be able to hang out. A lot of us do get somewhat of a break from work. There's food, there are gifts and stories, especially the stories. Again, these are normal things. And if you go online, if you look at people's posts, if you look at a lot of the movies, these things are there. And we kind of get to thinking, well, maybe this is, everyone has this same thing. There's another side of it, the non-photoshopped side of it. And our families experience these things too. And I'm just going to mention, I'm not trying to be a downer on Christmas, but sometimes we get these expectations that don't really match our reality, and we think we're the only ones. We've had a time at our home where we had everybody got sick. We shared the flu. There have been times when there have been hurt feelings, where there are words that were said that shouldn't have been, some words that should have been said that weren't. Some of us go through financial strain. There are in-law squabbles. I know none of you have had that, but I've heard this happens. And then there's the whole custody thing, you know, who's going to stay at whose house and when, and how does all that work out? Let's get some equity here, and everyone does different math. The problem is we enter into seasons like this, and we got these high expectations, and then we're going to work really hard to control the outcome. And a lot of times the outcome doesn't get controlled very well because there are factors way beyond our control. There are two things that this Christmas has reminded me of. One is that there's an empty chair in our house, and that was for my dad. This is the first Christmas I'll be without him. And we were best friends. I miss him. We just have to come up with a new normal. Some of you, you're in the same place. This is the first holiday without a loved one, or something has happened and they're gone. And I'm going to tell you this, if you know someone like that, an email or a text or a phone call could go a long way, because they're surrounded by people that are joyful and all this, and then they're thinking, yeah, I want to, but there's a loss I'm having to deal with here. There's another thing that our family went through that we will never forget. It was 11 years ago on a Christmas Eve. 2 weeks before that, our son had a mental health crisis, and he lost touch with what most of us would see. He didn't see, and he saw things the rest of us don't. And he ended up being under professional care, and he got out on Christmas Eve. He came home, and none of us knew what the future was going to be like. There were no road signs for it. It was dark. It was scary. It was like we were driving without any headlights. And some of you understand that really well, too. And it's hard to explain those things because it seems like everyone else has this beautiful, they got all kind of friends and family that always get along. Everyone looks good, smells good. Their teeth are perfectly straight and white. And they're in venues that you could only dream about maybe being in one day. But the reality is, and the older I get, the more I realize that there's a lot of beauty in our world, a lot of beauty that we experience, but there's brokenness too, and a lot of times they're at the same time. And to miss that, I think we can get ourselves in trouble. When it comes to this idea of having control, and that's what we're looking at today, is that if we need to be honest about this, we have very limited control. You don't have any control over the people around you. They're going to make their own choices. If you don't know that, you'll find out tomorrow morning or on the way home. We don't have much control over what happens in the world. There's a lot of things that go on we'd love to see differently, but we just, I don't, if we're really honest, we don't have that much control over ourselves. I'll give you a couple examples for me. Maybe you're different than me. I remember saying this on multiple Christmases. I'm going to be more patient next year. I don't have to change my New Year's resolutions. They're exactly the same ones. I just changed the date. How about this one? I'm not going to let Aunt Edna get under my skin this year. Edna has several glasses of wine and she's under my skin again. I don't have control. I can't control Edna. And if your name is Edna, I made that up. I don't know anyone named Edna, so that's why I do it. Again, the idea here is not to throw cold water or to ruin an event, but we ought to have our eyes wide open to things. And when it comes to this Christmas, it's just a slice of regular life, except it's kind of condensed. Right now, 115 million Americans are traveling for this holiday. And the research is they're going to spend an average of 4 days with family or friends wherever they're going. The same research, they interviewed these exact same people, and they said of the 4 days, 3 hours and 50 minutes of it is going to be nice. You do the math on that, there's a lot of other time there that is unaccounted for. And we struggle with it. And we have this quest of control. In this series, we're talking about things to get rid of. And if I can get over the fact and my tendency to try to control the people around me and the environment around me and all that, it's going to free me and others up. But I got to figure out how to do that. Because this idea of controlling, it's built into most of us. And what happens is, when I try to control the environment, and especially the people around me, I'm going to hurt them, I'm going to hurt me, there's going to be a lot of disillusionment, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, and a lot of hurt feelings. It's going to take 12 months to get over it. And then we'll do Christmas again. And we're surrounded by this. I mean, we see it, and it's easy to see in others. Like, you've got parents that they're going to control where their kids go to college. And so they give to bogus scholarship funds. You've got people that decide our team's going to win playoffs. We're going to be in the playoffs and Super Bowl this year, so there's ways to cheat to make that happen. World Series are the same way. We hear all the time of people that have covered up abuse, trying to control a very bad situation at the expense of people that have been victimized, because they're going to make sure they control the outcome of these things. We've got people that lie to get an advantage over others. We have people that compromise their morals and everything else in order to control their world. The cost is really high, but I'm going to tell you there's a better way. And it's found, if you're familiar with manger scenes, in the Christmas story that most of us have heard, there's a picture of this. I'm going to show you this. So this is like kind of typical. If you watch a Christmas movie, if you see manger scenes, usually you'll see something like this of Mary and Joseph, and they're in a stable and they've had a baby, and it's just, you can just hear the angels and harps in the background. I want you to think about it for a minute. Those of you, and don't raise your hand, but those of you that have given birth, did you really want to do it in a stable? There's bacteria, there's dirt, there's disease, there's all kind of things there that is not, it's not an Nova Fairfax. There are places in the world today where they don't name their babies until after they're 2 to 5 years old because the infant mortality rate is so high. No one would want to, but we look at the picture and we're thinking, this is wonderful. It's not so wonderful. Mary and Joseph handled it well. They both had committed their lives to God. They were committed to his plan, and they didn't understand that it was all going to unfold. It was difficult for them. They ended up in this stable because there was a government edict for a census, because the governments like to collect taxes, and they needed to have control over the citizenry. So they made everyone go to their ancestral home. So they show up in Bethlehem, which was not their regular home. They had to do it because they were required to, and there was no place for them to stay. It was overcrowded, so they stay in a barn. This is not what they had hoped for, and it's not what anyone had dreamed of. And it's worse here in Bethlehem. Infant mortality is pretty high anyway. But see, there was a king in the land that heard a rumor that there was this new king being born that was going to be a rival to him as the child grew. And he wasn't going to have anything to do with that. And so he sends his troops to the whole region of Bethlehem under the instructions is there to kill every male 2 years old and younger. There's nothing beautiful about that. It's a sense of someone with political control trying to control the world. Mary and Joseph were given warning and they were to flee, and they became refugees in Egypt for several years. See, there's more to the story than just that beautiful manger scene. Jesus grows up, and you don't really understand Christmas until you get Easter. And he grows up, he lives a life, and he faces everything you and I have. He understood what it would be to challenge and have pressure, whether it was in school, whether it was in work. He understood all the kind of things. He was tempted, the Bible says, in every way you and I are. The difference is, and he was fully God but fully human, is that he never gave in to the temptation. He resisted it so that when he did sacrifice his life, he could take our place. And when you read about his sacrifice on the cross, it was not for anything he had done wrong. It was so you and I could have freedom and forgiveness. I mean, this gift at Christmas is phenomenal. And this same Jesus makes an offer to you and me. And I want to go through that for a minute, because if we get that, Christmas makes so much sense. And it is so hopeful. Not long before Jesus was arrested, crucified, and then resurrected, he said this. People didn't get it until afterwards, but this is what he said. He said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest. All of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke," and that yoke is expectations, it's trying to have control over our life, trying to please everyone around me. He says, "Wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly, and let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls, for I give you only light burdens." So I'm not going to take this whole thing apart. That's not the time now, but I just want to say Jesus is making an offer to people that are trying to control their world and find out it's not working. And he offers something that is genuine and real. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You know, there I've seen all kind of kids that are struggling with thinking, if I just act a certain way, everybody in home will be happy. No one will be angry anymore. I've got to make these right grades. Or when you get older, I've got to do this. I'm going to make this happen because if somehow I can control it. And this is what it looks like when you realize that you're not doing well with controlling. Let's see this one. Some of you, you feel like I took your picture coming in here. Not that you're a donkey, excuse me for that. But we're carrying a load. There are things that we can't handle it. It's beyond what we can cover. And we may keep trying and find over and over again that we're not getting anywhere. Or some of us end up checking out and just giving up. Some have claimed defeat, and that in a lot of cases, you can go back and look at why people have addictive kind of behaviors and other things. Is they just feel like, my life's out of control, I can't do anything about it, I'm a victim, so what's going to make me feel good now? Jesus has a much better way. Let me read it to you again. "Come to me, and I will give you rest," or "I'll give you peace," or "I'll give you strength, I'll take care of you. All of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke, wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly, and let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls, for I give you only light burdens." So let's look at this next picture. In that culture, people were used to seeing, I mean, it was an agrarian or a farm culture. They were used to seeing animals that did a lot of the work. In fact, the road out here, Ox Road, they named it that because it used to be a pathway that would lead from the Occoquan River up toward Leedsburg, and there were oxen that would haul carts of all kind of goods that would come in on the river. And they were used to seeing. It was a normal kind of thing. And the idea is that someone that takes good care of an ox knows exactly how much they can haul, and they make sure that this yoke, this harness that they have, fits them well. The last thing you'd want to do is to do something that's going to cause harm, because if you lose your ox, you're in big trouble. And so Jesus is saying, he said, if you come to me, if you will come to me exactly as you are, you don't have to pretend you've got it all day, you can come with me with your feet up in the air, it doesn't matter. If you come to me, I'm going to take you as you are, and I'm going to help you learn how to live in this chaotic and broken world. I'm going to take you as you are, even though you're fragile and broken. Maybe you've got a bad track record, but I'm going to help you. And instead of you trying to have control over the world, I'm going to give you the capacity to face it, and I'm going to be the one in control. And I'm not gonna take away the load. That's not, God never wanted you and I just to sit around in robes and sip Mai Tais by the pool. We were created to have meaningful lives that accomplish important things, but important things that matter, not things that require us jettisoning our character and our values and our integrity. So you come to me, he says, and I'll take your life as it is, and I'm gonna guide you and lead you well so that whatever comes your way, you'll be able to handle it. I will never rip you off. I will guide you. I'll protect you. I'm not necessarily going to protect you from the difficulties that come, but I will carry you through that. I will guide you through it well so that you can face it. You don't have to live a life based on fear. You can walk through it with faith, which is trusting in him. And he says, I'm gentle and I'm humble. Wouldn't it be nice to have leaders all around us that were powerful and gentle and humble? Jesus is. With him leading and supporting us, it is guaranteed that you and I can face anything that comes our way. We don't have to know how it's all going to play out. When our son came home that Christmas Eve, we were absolutely stunned and we had no category for what we were dealing with. And I will tell you now, I just got off the phone with him yesterday. He's out in Wisconsin with his wife. And we were talking about it. God guided us through that and took care of us. He didn't cause us to miss the stuff we had to deal with. He gave us the capacity to walk through it because we didn't do it alone. We had him with us. So many times what happens is you and I are afraid to trust. We want control. And what we end up doing is making it worse and worse and worse. It doesn't need to be that way. We're going to sing about this in a minute. There's this word Emmanuel. You hear a lot of it at Christmas time. It's a word that means God is with us. And not just with us as we ponder on him, not just with us in spirit, but actually with us. And he came to planet Earth so that we would know that there is nothing we've done that would keep him away except not asking him to take charge. I like the fact that he came as a baby because babies seem less intimidating. But make no mistake, we don't worship baby Jesus. We worship the King and Creator of the universe who humbled himself to come and live like you and me so that we know he gets it. And he does. He knows exactly where you are right now. He understands it, and he's inviting you. Will you admit that you have a need? Will you ask me for help and accept my leadership in your life? And if you do, you will never, ever regret it. He gives us the best gift you could ever get at Christmas, and that's a relationship with him. Let's pray together. God, It's easy to get caught up in a lot of things. Some of us are really struggling right now. We're surrounded by happy people, but inside we are really battling. We've had loss that we don't know what to do with. We're reeling in things we're going to have to face as soon as the holiday's over. Some of us are repeating some familial things that have been really, really hard. And God, you get all of it. And we're not too much for you. You invite us to come to you because we're tired, because we're worn out. And we're going to take you up on it. I pray for anyone here that knows you, that we'll really reassess how much we're trying to control our environment. We'll choose to tap out, surrender to you, and let you guide us through it without us trying to make others fit our agenda. For anyone that doesn't yet know you, I pray that this Christmas, when they think about Jesus, that they'll understand why he came, that he loves us, that you love us, and that there really is hope. Thank you so much in Christ's name. Amen.